It's Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Andrea Dukakis. A new exhibit called Talking It Out, Getting to Agreement, opens today at the Colorado State Capitol. It tells the stories of Coloradans who've worked together to resolve some seemingly impossible conflicts. Here's Sandy Eversoll of Arvada, whose story is part of the exhibit.
My son David was only 19 years old at the time of the accident, and he was an outstanding athlete and student. David was killed by his brand new roommate. The kid was a functioning alcoholic, and that evening David had gotten into the car not really knowing. The kid had just gotten his car all souped up and said he was going to show him how fast the car goes. So he proceeded to go close to 109 miles per hour at a dead-end street. Once he tried to turn, he hit the medium and flipped several times, throwing my son out of the car, and my son died instantly. After the accident, the DA gave me a call, and she offered a conflict resolution program. When I asked what that was, she said that we would be in a room with Dylan, and he's the boy who was responsible for my son's death. And at first, I just got angry. I didn't want to see him. I didn't want to talk to him. So that was that. And then as I gathered David's brothers and my daughter-in-laws and talked with them, we all thought it'd be a good idea because we had so many lingering questions that only he could tell us. Some of the questions that we wanted to ask was why? Did you care? And what were you thinking? So as we sat down and started talking with Dylan, we were able to ask him questions, and he answered every one of them amazingly. We were all shocked. We all had no idea that we were going there that day to forgive this young man. This young man is very small in stature, and he was literally shaking, and he was crying throughout the whole thing. So as we all asked him questions, why, he says he didn't remember anything about the accident and that he had lost all of his friends. He had lost his girlfriend that he'd had all through high school. He said he could not even go shopping at Safeway with his family because somebody that knew him and knew the story would chase him and want to beat him up. And we actually felt sorry for Dylan. We started seeing a young man that was really broken. He had told us that he had had nightmares on a nightly basis, and he was so remorseful. Getting towards the end, one of my daughter-in-laws, Christy, she says, Dylan, and he says, what? And she says, can I have a hug? And he looked around. He looked around, and he looked at the wall. He could not believe that someone in this room, David's family, would want to give him a hug. So they got up and hugged, and then we each took turns. And as Dylan hugged me and I hugged him back, he soaked my shirt full of tears. And at that time, we knew that we had just forgiven this young man, and we started having compassion for him. I felt like I had been reborn. It was the power of forgiveness. I felt like I had a brand new life and a journey ahead of me, and I felt like I was able to start living again. So when we went into the courtroom for the very last time for sentencing, as the deputies came and handcuffed Dylan after he was sentenced, the deputies were taking him out the back door. As we were sitting there and we were looking at him, he turned around and looked at our family, and he lipped, I'm sorry. The doors closed, and we all held hands and cried. And we just, our hearts were just so happy that justice had been served for David, but that we also had peace now because we were able to forgive him through his remorse.
That was Sandy Eversoll of Arvada. Dylan Salazar is serving time for causing the death of her son. Eversoll's story is part of an exhibit on conflict resolution at the state capitol. Now we turn to mediator Mary Zinn, who helped put the exhibit together. Mary, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Is Sandy Eversole's story common? I mean, how often do people actually experience these dramatic transformations?
When people have the opportunity to meet with someone after a horrible wrong, they can find out more about what the other person's experience is, and they can tell their story about how that affected their lives. And that causes huge shifts, absolutely, and often, yes, when they have the opportunity to meet together.
What makes this kind of change possible? What kinds of strategies do mediators use to help resolve these situations?
Mediators use strategies where they bring people together to talk, and the strategy is to create a safe place for them to have a conversation so they can learn about what actually took place. There are so many times in a mediation where you will hear the people say, "I didn't know that. I didn't know that was your situation or how that affected you," and it changes the game.
And when does a mediator step back, and when do they know when to interject in that kind of situation?
We believe it's an art, Andrea, of course. Right. We do ask questions that encourage open dialogue or encourage an idea that they were about to come to or thinking about. So we help guide very slightly, really, the conversation, unless we need to be more involved.
We've heard about a scenario where a young man was killed. I'd love to hear some other stories in the exhibit. For instance, there's one about Denver's Annunciation School.
The counselor at Annunciation School, Sheila Carpen, instilled a program wherein the children learned how to talk to each other. They learned that it was important to express their anger and how to do that, how not to hit. In fact, the title of that story begins with fist fights. That's how they solved their problems before the program was put in place. The teachers, the administrators, the students, the parents all learned more about how to manage conflicts, how to talk to each other, how to make it possible when you hurt me, how do I let you know that? And what do we do to fix it going forward? How are we respectful in our relationships? Over the years, that school has changed immensely.
What are some other situations where conflict resolution might work?
One of the most common situations is in a neighborhood. A tree is growing over somebody's fence. Too many cars are parked in my driveway. The barking dog. All of those situations are wonderful for people to come together and talk to each other. They don't often do it, unfortunately, but they're great opportunities to find out what's going on with your neighbor. And then the larger community. We have a couple of stories in the exhibit that address community issues. In Fort Morgan, Colorado, there was an influx of Somali immigrants. That concerned the community. They didn't understand the different habits of people from a different culture.
What kinds of things?
Men standing around, just kind of what would look to us like loitering, people not knowing how to drive. These were things that created fear in the people in the community. So an organization was created called One Morgan County to help people understand each other. If we don't understand that loitering, coming together, gathering habit of people, how can we incorporate that? How can we understand what that's about? So they created a way for people to learn about each other.
Mary, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was dispute resolution expert Mary Zinn of Denver. We spoke with her about a new exhibit at the state capitol featuring stories about conflict resolution. The exhibit is at the capitol through Friday, and then we'll travel to other Colorado locations. That's our show. I'm Andrea Dukakis, and this is Colorado Matters.